You may be seated. What a great reminder for us of not only our desperate need, but the great provision that our God has given us, and especially today, as we celebrate Pentecost and as we rejoice in the birthday of the church and the value that Jesus places on the local church, our desperate need for Him is on display, for we live in a fallen world, and in that fallen world there is sin. Both our own personal sin, but also in terms of the culture around us, the deepening divide that is there between those that are seeking to honor Jesus and live in obedience to His word, and those who are, as the Bible would describe them, enemies of God and hate the Bible. I want to take a short break from our series on 1 Peter 4. The end is near, and yet we want to stay in 1 Peter 4. So if you have your Bibles with you, we want to focus in on what does Pentecost mean? What is the birthday of the church, and how should that impact our lives? What is going on that would cause Jesus to say, it is better for you if I go? I think personally, if I could have a choice between living in the presence of Jesus, the actual physical presence of Jesus, or having the Holy Spirit, I would choose living in the physical presence of Jesus. And yet, Jesus said, what we have now is better than that. And I think He is right all of the time. So how can we understand what this day means in history, in terms of what happened, but also in terms of its impact, so that we can live in light of it and be those who are Spirit-filled, devoted to the local church, and living in victory, holy, joyful, loyal, loving, faithful to God, powerful in witness and ministry. One of the great weaknesses of the church is that our understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit is either intellectual or irrelevant. And my hope and prayer is that together as we study what His role is, in some ways exploding from 1 Peter 4, really we could have almost gone anywhere in the Bible for this. What is the role of the Holy Spirit, and how does that role impact my life, and how does that cause me to be a part of the local church and to serve her and to be on mission in the world that God has given us? One of my favorite pastors says this: without the Holy Spirit, we have no new birth, no confession of the Lordship of Christ, no victory over sin, no progress in sanctification, no spiritual wisdom, no spiritual gifts, and no resurrection from the dead. He goes on to say, why should we not seek such a person, the fullness of an experience of this person? He is a person, not a mere force. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, intercessor, advocate. That's what that means. To be with you forever. Jesus, I think, here saying, I am your first helper. I am, He promised in Matthew 28, with you to the very end of the age. But His power and presence is now known to His church in the person of the Holy Spirit. How did this happen? Well, we have in Acts the birth of the church, and we see there what God was seeking to do in history. The church is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. And Pentecost, the day we are celebrating today, is actually a day in the history of God's people that didn't begin there, although was given new meaning. It's a Greek word for the name known as the Feast of Weeks. It's found in Leviticus 23 or Deuteronomy 16. And the Greek word that we get it from, Pentecost, 50, refers to the 50 days that have elapsed since the wave offering of the Passover. Really, it was a celebration of the harvest, the grain harvest to be specific, but a celebration of the faithfulness of God in producing fruit so that they could eat, so that they could survive, so that they could live. I think one of the reasons why God, who is in control of all of history, placed this special day on this historic day was because it's through the Holy Spirit that we have everything we need for life and godliness. It's through the power of the Spirit that we can live in victory and holiness and delight. There's only one biblical reference to the actual events of Pentecost. It's found in Acts chapter 2, but the impact of Pentecost really builds out from that event, and then now even is being experienced as the church of Jesus is built up. Local churches, yes, that's how we picture the greater church, but also the impact of missions and living on mission for God, really an overflow of that Acts chapter 2 event, the ascension followed by this great, wonderful Pentecost event. It's similar to the Last Supper. The disciples have gathered in a house, and they've gathered for what proves to be a life-altering, history-altering, universe-altering event. At the Last Supper, the disciples witnessed the end of the Messiah's earthly ministry, and he said, "Remember my death until I return." And there was this passion for the end that would come, and we have been saying from 1 Peter 4, "The end is near. How then should we live?" Well, the Holy Spirit allows us to not only see how we should live, but indwells us and empowers us to live in that way. The disciples are in this room, and there is a commencement of the Holy Spirit's work in the church, and it includes the power we have to live on mission for Him and to love those who are in the local church in such a way that we show and display literally the love of Jesus. On this day, if we were to study it, which we won't, but I want to mention it, there is fire and there is wind, and these are symbolic of the presence and power of God. The hope we have in Him, wind, always in God's control and yet always powerful, and it shows us the power of God and what He can do. Fire, often in the Old Testament, His presence. And so we see in the coming of the Holy Spirit in this fresh and new way that we can now experience the power and presence of the living God. That is amazing. There was on the day of Pentecost, as we have already said and modeled, this miraculous speaking in foreign tongues, which allowed people from various language groups to hear and understand their own language through the message of the apostles. And this was to show that there was now this explosion to a worldwide impact with the gospel. Really, from creation and fall on, the plan of God to use the people of God to reach people for His glory. Genesis 12 tells us that this blessing would be for the nations, and then it just builds from there. And now at Pentecost, we literally see it exploding in wind and fire in the people of God for the glory of God. Now, some people go to this and say, see, it's easy now to live life for Jesus, and we know that that's not true. But if we choose to live in the power of the Spirit, it will change who we are, and it will change the churches we belong to, and will impact eternity. And so this day is well worth learning from. What I would like us to do is to see the impact on one of the churches, really, I suppose, a letter to different churches, but the impact of the Holy Spirit's work through the eyes of Peter, or through the eyes of 1 Peter. We'll come back, God willing, next week and look at the end being near and how that should change us, but the most important thing in terms of us living in light of the gospel and in light of the return of Jesus, that the end is near, the most important thing for us is that we would live in the fullness of the Spirit. And I think the study of 1 Peter 4 shows us what that will look like. And so I just want to look at some words and evaluate our lives with those words so that we can then say, are we living in the power of the Spirit? The power that allows us to have a life that matters, to be different from the world, to live in the world but not of the world. And remember, the Holy Spirit is not a power but a person who gives power. So are we living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and what does that look like? And I would like us to look at the first 11 verses of 1 Peter chapter 4 and then pull out some words. We will move through them rapidly, God willing, in our series on 1 Peter 4. We'll come back and review them. But I hope, as those who are in the end times, that 1 Peter 4 becomes a well-worn pathway to encourage our hearts, to sharpen our minds, and to change our lives. Since there for Christ suffered in the flesh. Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Be transformed with the renewal of your mind. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. That is the goal of the Holy Spirit. To glorify God by causing his people to live for the will of God on witness for the gospel of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to these, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel is preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one speaking the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies through the power of the Spirit, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. I also want to look at verse 14. Again, notice the Spirit of God saturating this chapter. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The only way we will be able to live for Jesus in a world that has gone mad is in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? First word. We're going to look at some words. First word, holiness. 1 Peter has already addressed this very, very clearly. We are to be holy as God is holy. And when we talk about holy in the Bible, it's a word that calls to mind separateness and purity. So Christians are to be separated unto God, separated for his work. In other words, you become one who belongs to him, or as this passage has stated so clearly, one who desires to do the will of God. That is the role of the Holy Spirit in you, to allow you to see what God wants for you and what he wants from you. Separated to his will, also absolutely pure. Now, obviously, we know practically, and if you tell me you don't, you are lying, that we all will struggle. Distractions cause us to lose sight of being set apart for his mission, and the world in our own flesh and the demonic realm fills us with temptations that sometimes even cause those who belong to Jesus to sin. But in the power of the Spirit, we can put to death, this is Romans 8, verse 13, we can put to death the deeds of the flesh, then we will live. There's this power that allows us to be set apart, to see as our ultimate and deepest passion, to know Jesus more and to live for Christ with all that we are and all that we have. And so if we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's to be set apart for him and to be pure and like him. My question for you, do you see in your life the power of the Holy Spirit at work? Are you more and more conformed to the image of Jesus? And are you more seeing everything that happens to you, your entire life, as an opportunity to live for the one who is your Lord, to show others how awesome Jesus is? Holiness is non-negotiable and only possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're set apart. You're called to be pure. In this text in 1 Peter, and we saw this last week, we won't take the time to walk through each of them, there's these temptations that flood us, and they're being lived around us, and we stand firm, and we stand separate, and we devote ourselves to God and say no to sin and yes to God and obedience to him. It includes a death to self and a delight in God. Holiness is only possible because of Pentecost. See what you're called to and seek it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holiness. Second word, the word truth. Here again, I would go to verse 2 and talk about what it means to live to the will of God. And certainly Romans 12, 1 to 2 would define this even more clearly as we seek to have our minds transformed and renewed because we spend so much time in the Word of God and with God. And it's the Holy Spirit's job, role, to help us to know what the Word is teaching us, to give us a longing to be in the Word and to see what's there and to understand it and experience the love of God so richly from what we're learning that we're not distracted and disoriented from all of the false things that are going on around us. I think this was important from day one. In fact, in Genesis 3, we see that this is really why Eve chose to sin. And then as the sin nature came to us through the sin of Adam, we see this as a part of all of us being able to be deceived. False news, the internet, AI, I think terrifies me in terms of what it can do in the deception areas. Deep fakes. I watched an article. I'm going to do a podcast on the impact of AI. And one of the huge impacts it could have is literally, Elias was telling me this, within, I think he said, 3 seconds of this AI hearing your voice, it can reproduce your voice and can say whatever it wants to say. You can watch some things online. I watched an arrest of former President Trump, perhaps deservedly so. And yet it wasn't even true. They tackled him, put him down on the ground. Everything looked accurate. How do you even know what you read online or in a newspaper or watch on the television or even hear? How do you know if it's true or not? This is a problem. It creates chaos in the culture and even in the church. And the answer is God's word. This is John 17. God's word is truth. This is where we can go all of the time if we want to know what is true. And we evaluate everything else from this. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's role is to guide us into this truth. Now, there is a responsibility that we all have to take seriously. We talk about this a lot. We need to be those who are word saturated. We need to be those who long to know it more, who live, who meditate. Psalm 1, meditate on it day and night. We need to be like the kings of old. We need to write it out and carry it with us and remind ourselves of it all of the time. But if we don't, the goal of the demonic realm to deceive and destroy will be one that we will experience personally and then corporately as a church. This is so important, not only to personally pursue this, but to understand that post-Pentecost, we have a helper. And in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we can know the Word of God, and powerfully, we can live it. We can be those who stand firm in the midst of any storm, the Matthew 7 description, because as the storms come, we have heard the Word of God and are choosing to obey it. In fact, this ties together with what we've already learned in terms of holiness in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your word. This is Jesus praying to the Father for us. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Here's the wonderful thing. If you truly know the work of the Holy Spirit, know the Holy Spirit, holiness and truth are things we pursue, but also things that he produces in us. And only with the Spirit's help will we be able to be holy or truth-filled. One pastor preaching a sermon on the power of the Holy Spirit says this: all the forces of darkness will seek to confuse and obscure the light of truth in that hour, the hour we're in, the last days. All the proportions of power in this world will appear to make God look distant, small, ineffective, like nothing. That is a goal of Satan and sin, to make God look useless and worthless. The work of the Holy Spirit in that hour, I would argue, in this hour, the work of the Spirit of truth is to rest upon you with whatever measure of truth you will need in order to be faithful. So again, the honest question. Do you see in your life the work of the Holy Spirit? A passion for holiness and a growth in it, being set apart and pure, a desire to be one who knows the Word of God, thinks, having this mind that was also in Christ, that is so saturated with the Word that when the world throws all sorts of deceptions or disorientations or distractions at you, you stand firm and you know what is real. Thirdly, the word glory. You know, it's interesting, in my early days as a pastor, one of the things that we taught, and I think wrongly, is that we shouldn't take the time to focus on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's main goal is to fixate us on Jesus. Now, let me say, first of all, that is true. But there is a sense that unless we focus on the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit, as the Bible calls us to do, we will miss out on fixating on Jesus or glorifying Jesus the way that God wants us to. In this passage, we find this in verse 10 and verse 11, and then on at the end of the chapter, this passion that we have to do everything for the glory of God, because we get His strength that accomplishes that. Look at verse 11. Well, really, verse 10, it's the serving of the local church. We're going to come back to that. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. That's a call for me to speak the very words of God. I think the NIV translation perhaps a little more understandable. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Here's the goal: in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, our lives become, in the fullness of the Spirit, so fixated on Jesus that everything we do is to help others see how awesome He is. We suffer pain and we go, God, would you use this pain so I can show people that you are my greatest treasure? We get disoriented in a world that is filled with all sorts of things that distract us, and we say, no, we'll stand firm and we'll be a witness by how we live and what we share with our lips for the greatness of God. We'll be those who live in the fullness of the Spirit for His glory. See, when you understand this, then you look around, and we'll see this in terms of serving the church and loving. You look around and you say, God, I want to be used by you regardless of the cost. I've been living in Philippians chapter 1 mainly because I was going to use that for my part of the church's essential conference that's coming up, but man, have I enjoyed it. And so I've shared it at our business meeting and then shared it again at our JST. We just had our JST retreat, but there's so much in that passage. But the thing that just dominates my thinking is the Apostle Paul says these great words: to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I want that to define my life. I want to be one who says, I want to be so consumed with Jesus that to live is to glorify Him, to die, wow, I get to be in His presence, and I long for this, and I'm growing towards it, and I haven't yet arrived. And what's amazing to me is the overflow of that. Paul goes, listen, it's better to depart. I want to go and I want to be in heaven. That's way better. But I think I'm going to stay because I want to serve the local church. Can you imagine that kind of passion if we all had it? To say, I want to be here. Oh, I want to depart. I want to be in glory, but I want to be here because, God, I want you to use me to build your church, to reach people for you, and to show people your love and display it, and to use the gifts you've given me to build your family. This one all-consuming desire, whatever the cost. For Paul, remember, he in Philippians, chained to the Praetorian Guard, has been tortured to that point, certainly under the threat of death. And yet he says, I want to stay and suffer more. If it'll help you, this local church in Philippi, be more faithful to God, or I suppose in our language, bring more glory to God. This is life-altering and only possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love how verse 11, I think I've shared this with you before, I actually have verse 11 written on the bottom of all my sermon notes. So just kind of on the bottom of all my notes, I have this verse written out because I want to do everything I do in the strength that God provides, and here speaking specifically about speaking the very words of God, so that God is glorified in everything that I do. Only possible in the strength he provides, only possible in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm starting to understand why Jesus said, it's better for you, Cloverdale Baptist Church, to not have me walking around among you and talking to you. It's better for you if I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come and empower you to live this kind of victorious Christian life. Fourth word, holiness, truth, glory. The word love is an important word for God, obviously. In the fullness of the Spirit as he inspired the word, Jesus sums up the entire Old Testament by saying you need to love God with all that you are and all that you have, and you need to love your neighbor as yourself. He actually said that the key uniform, if you want to know what a Christian looks like, he said this is how you can know. They'll know it by your love for one another. They'll know it by your commitment to the local church and how you treat one another in the local church. Now in 1 Peter, he says it like this, above all, love one another deeply, for love covers over a multitude of sins. Here's the assumption. In the church, you're going to have sinners around you. Did you know that? Don't look right now. The person sitting next to you is a sinner. If you're in the front row or you're looking this way, the person in front of you is a sinner. We need the Holy Spirit if we're going to love the way that God wants us to love, because he calls us to love like Jesus did. And Jesus said, well, I suppose this is Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Christ is the demonstration of God's love. How? Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still, above all, love one another deeply, for love covers a multitude of. See, now we're choosing to experience his love in the power of the Spirit and to display that love by how we treat one another, even when the person doesn't deserve it. Or I suppose I might argue, especially when the person doesn't deserve it. Oh, this is impossible, Pastor. And I agree, unless the Holy Spirit is a real person with real power, indwelling the people of God for his glory. Again, to take a look at our lives, are you set apart? Are you one who longs to be used by God with whatever he wants to use you? Are you holy? Are you pursuing purity of mind and motive and action? Are you one who is loyal to the word of God in the midst of a culture that is filled with destruction and deception and disorientation? Are you longing to be one who glorifies him and shows how awesome he is, and you want to use every circumstance that comes your way to display the beauty and power and glory of the goodness of God? And are you one who says, I'm going to choose to love, even, especially, when those around me don't deserve it? I'm going to be a part of the family of God, and in the fullness of the Spirit, I'm going to love others. I'm going to self-sacrificially choose God's best for them. I'm going to lay aside self and choose the Savior's pathway and live my life for his glory. I am convinced, as I shepherd this family, as well as deal with significantly other churches, that a significant portion, perhaps all, of church divisions would be solved if we'd live in the power of the Spirit and love like the Savior. This is impossible without God's help. By the way, just a little aside, sometimes it's easy when you go through a list like this, we got one more word. Sometimes it's easy when you go through a list like this and you say, okay, Pentecost is real and what happened there should change us, and here's the words, and it's, you know, holy and truth-filled and glory and love, and we're going to get to faithfulness in just a minute. You look at these words and it's easy for us in the flesh to look around and say, well, I wish other people were living like this. And may I say to you that I wish they were too. But this is a sermon and a message about the power of the Spirit for you as an individual. Your elders are called to make sure that they help you to accomplish this, but today I want every person here to hold the mirror of the Word of God from the Spirit of God in the power of God up to their lives and say, I long for this more. so that we're not looking at others to distract us from the work of the Spirit in our own lives, but rather saying, as a mirror held up to our own lives, in the power of the Spirit, I long to be holy. I long to be truth-filled. I long to bring Him glory. I long to love self sacrificially for His best. And then the fifth word, I want to be faithful. In this sense, I'm going to verse 11. I want to be one who serves the church. You see a church that's suffering in 1 Peter 4. The end is near, and there's all these things going on. And what really Peter's doing in the power of the Spirit is laying out the priorities of the Spirit for this church. And here we find in verse 11, let everyone serve. There's gifts that are provided. We call them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to see here is there is a call for us to be faithful to the community of Christ. We call this the local church. There's a call to us to say, I want to belong, I want to serve, I want to join in, I want to build up, I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to be faithful to the call of God, faithful as a witness in the world, and faithful as a servant in the church. So Acts 1:8, which is a verse that we know well, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are called to be His witnesses. But how do we do that? And Acts builds that out. And the answer is we do that by living in community. I told you earlier, this is the birthday of the church. And really, the local church is what represents the universal church in the New Testament so profoundly and clearly. And so we display our fullness of the Spirit when we use the spiritual gifts He's given us to build the bride of Christ, to belong to the family of God, and to be one who then with them reaches out into the community and shines the greatness of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit to the world that needs Jesus so desperately. We've come to a generation that is isolating themselves from church. We want to be a church that says that is not what it means to live in the fullness of the Spirit. We want to belong and serve and build and be loyal and faithful to the bride of Christ. I was reading a book that was written by two young guys who were talking about why they're faithful to the church even though so many their age are not. And they ended the book with this great little statement, "You may kiss the bride." And I happened to just be done a wedding ceremony that day, and I remember saying that and seeing the groom reach over with great delight and kiss the bride, and everyone knew that wasn't the very first time because it was with such gusto and delight. And when we get to eternity, I hope that the kiss we give to the bride, I suppose now I'm saying the groom, the building and beautifying of the bride won't be the first time that we see how devoted we should have been to her. There's a call to belong. We call it membership. Today we're going to have this great celebration of membership. We're going to see 45-something, Dan, how many? 44. I got the number wrong. That was pastoral numbers. 44 devoting themselves to the bride, but I hope it's a reminder as we walk through that of what the Spirit does to make us loyal to the bride, to have this fullness and faithfulness and serving, not just belonging, not just coming and enjoying a service that's well done, God willing, we want to do that, but more being a part of being faithful and using your spiritual gifts and building the bride of Christ. 4 verse 10, 5, 10 to 12, and we could go to other places. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a celebration today of His coming, of Pentecost. This is a celebration of the birthday of the church. And this is a convictional call to all of you, a convictional call to me, as we hold up the Word of God and we say, okay, if the Holy Spirit is real, and He is, and if the Holy Spirit's at work in my life and in this church, what will that look like? And here's what it will look like. I suppose I would say according to 1 Peter chapter 4, but please hear this. The entire Bible really is a story that comes from this flow given to us in the power of the Spirit. It's the Spirit who inspired the Word of God. And then from Acts 2 on, in fact, one of my favorite scholars said Acts 2 to Revelation 3 is really the story of the church in the power of the Spirit. And we get to be a part of that. So here's the mirror I want us to hold up. I suppose I should have my Bible, not my hands. Here's the mirror I want us to hold up and say, do we believe in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit? And if we do, how will it show? Oh, there's lots of noise of people that say it shows in all sorts of different ways. I want us to be biblical in how it shows. And so here's the answer, and here's what I want you to hold up to your life and say, in the fullness of the Spirit, I want to live this way. Are you holy, set apart, and pure, and pursuing that and growing in it all of the time? Are you truth-filled and you understand the Word because the Spirit shows you what the Word is and you're pursuing a word saturation and a way of thinking that allows you to see what is true and what is not? Are you a glory seeker? Not for yourself, but for Him who loves you and gave Himself for you. Are you one who is loving and living in that faithful obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And are you a part of, committed part of, the local church, faithful and loyal to Jesus and to His bride? This day in history has changed every day moving forward. So if you are one who has responded to the gospel, you believe that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died the death you deserve, rose again and then ascended into glory, and has sent His Holy Spirit to help you to live, if you believe that, then surrender to Him. Be fixated on Jesus. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And live with us in humility and courage, so that together we display the holiness of God, the truth of His Word, the glory of His gospel, the love of our Savior, and a faithfulness to His church that shows everyone else that our greatest treasure is God, our power is in the Spirit, and our lives are fully His. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You ascended, and we thank You that You sent Your Spirit to us, that we might live our lives for You. Help us to understand and experience the fullness of the Spirit. Help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit with whom we are sealed until the day of redemption, and help us to be those who keep in step with the Spirit, that we might live these kind of lives. God, today we need You to open the eyes of our hearts. There are those here that don't know You. Would You, through Your Spirit, open their eyes and give them a desire to get to know You and not leave this place until they have talked to someone about our Lord Jesus? Father, there are many here who are those who believe but are not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Would You please convict? Give them the courage to fight sin and be fully devoted to You. And for those of us who are seeking and yet so often failing to live in the power of the Spirit, in the joy that You provide and the fire and wind that allows us to live for You in this world but not of this world, would You continue to fill us, to cause us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling with the full confidence that You are at work in us, to will and to act according to Your good pleasure. Would You confront us where we need that, encourage us where we need that, and give us the courage to live in the world but not of the world for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.